and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
I want to congratulate Bishop and all the team for putting together the Church Growth Conference to help impact and bring transformation to the communities of our nation and the cities of our nations. Like never before, we are living in the days of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, like the earth has never known it before. And gatherings like this kind, meetings like this kind, helps to create the environment conducive for the outpouring of the Spirit for divine capabilities and enablement. Because if you are in ministry and you don't face anything, it's an indication that you are not carrying anything. And it also means that if you never come under attack and that demons don't concentrate on you, it's a clear indication that you are not going anywhere. Because if you look at footballers, the ones that are very skillful and do well, there is always a higher concentration on those ones when they are playing the game. The strikers, they concentrate on them. The coach will tell them, don't take your eyes on this one. Concentrate on this one. This is the dangerous one. So if you see demonic concentration on a particular child among your children, or an individual, or a particular church, it's a prophetic indication that that one is a dangerous one. Say, I hear you. Because the devil don't spend time. He don't spend his time on people going nowhere. There are high levels demonic concentration and monitoring spirits and gadgets. And I'm telling you things because some of you are dealing with things you don't even know you are dealing with, because you have been desensitized and veiled. And a lot of you are under general spiritual anesthesia. And demons are operating on you and you don't even know it. The Bible says, and when men slept. So the trick of the enemy is to cast a spell of spiritual slumber and get us to go to sleep. But by the time you leave this gathering tonight, every spell is broken. Every embargo is lifted. Every chain breaks. Every yoke breaks. And you are living here with higher illumination. Somebody say illumination. Sit down for 2 minutes. I just want to flow from the wells. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. So I want the rivers to flow. And you can catch it. You see, Mary Magdalene was predestined by a judicial determination of eternity to be one that will break the alabaster box to anoint and preserve his body for his death. And because of her assignment, 7 demons hijacked her. She was hijacked by spiritual hijackers to make sure that she would never come to the realization and the revelation of her assignment on earth. She was hijacked by spiritual hijackers. There are spiritual hijackers who hijack individuals, they hijack community, they hijack cities, they hijack churches, they hijack nation, political hijackers. They will hijack the political scene, they hijack the destinies of nations. If the church sits down, the destiny of your nation can be hijacked by spiritual hijackers. But let every spiritual hijackers be hijacked in the name of Jesus. We take captivity captive. Sit down for 2 minutes. The seed of Jacob, who was destined to bring revival to Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 regions or 10 cities. He was hijacked by 6,000 demons, legions, embedded in the spirit of one man. Why was he hijacked? Why was he taken captive by 6,000 demons? Ladies and gentlemen, not 1,000 demons, nor 2,000, nor 3, 6,000 demons hijacked one man because he was carrying heavy duty cargo. He had an assignment to bring revival and transformation to the 10 regions. And therefore, the demons in all the 10 regions came together. Because you see, what the church don't realize is, those in darkness can see those in the light, and those in the light cannot see those in the dark. Do you know the wise men who saw the star of Jesus? They were not Christians. They were not believers. They were astrologers, palm readers. I have an office, another office in my office, and most times I turn the light off. And when I'm in my office with light, I can't see what is in there. But when I go in there with light on in my office, I can see my office. But in the light in my office, you can't see what is in there because it's dark. Those in the darkness can see those in the light. And as never before, the church needs light. Because you can even have eyes and still can't see if you are in the darkness. That's why Jesus said, eyes have they, but they see not. So it's not enough to have eyes. You need light. It's good to have eyes, but you need light. And that's why God said, let there be light. I must see what I'm about to call for and create. Let there be light. And there was light. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something about light, and it is my prayer. The Bible says that in thy light shall we see light. And the Bible said, the entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. David said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Receive illumination. Receive light. Receive abundance of light. The light appeared and the darkness comprehended it not. Receive light. Sit down for 2 minutes. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Talking to somebody. Jesus healed a blind man, and the Sadducees came and said, who sinned? Who sinned? Who sinned? Did the father or the mother sin that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither did the father or the mother sin, but this happened that the glory of God may be made manifest. When Job's crisis came, his friends came and said, our brother, you can confide in us. Tell us, what have you done now? Who sinned? It is ignorance that causes individuals to accuse their brethren when they are walking through the fire. Because the devil is a true accuser and a false accuser. So whether you sin or you walk upright, he will accuse you. Somebody say, I hear you. We are living in great times. William Simeon, 1916, prophesied that 100 years after the Azusa revival shall come another revival greater than that of the Azusa. Then there was another prophet in Houston, Texas, and he and Simeon were in loggerheads. He prophesied the same time Simeon was prophesying that they shall come after Azusa, another move of God and revival that will sweep across the nations of the earth like the earth has never known it before. 1949, thereabout, Dr. Samuel was in London visiting Smith Wigglesworth. And he knelt at his feet and he cried and prophesied and said, I see the waves of revivals coming. And he prophesied 3 revivals. And he said, I will not see it, but you will see it. And he said, the 3rd revival will be the greatest than that of Azusa. And it will sweep the nations of the earth. 100 years from 1916 to now is what? This is 100 years. This is the time. I don't know if you feel the vibrations, but I feel the vibration. Like a woman carrying a child, I feel like my water is broken and the baby's head is positioned at the birth canal. Something is about to happen. I said something is about to happen on the earth like the earth has never known it before. You know, John G. Lake, sit down for 2 minutes. John G. Lake was in South Africa. He was in South Africa, and a man had lost it. He was insane in a Menster Institute in Scotland, England. The situation was very horrifying, fearful, and very difficult. And his family were believers in a church in Scotland, and they began to pray that God would touch and deliver. While they were praying, the Spirit of God transported John G. Lake from South Africa to Scotland. He prayed and healed the guy, and the Spirit of God transported him back to South Africa without an aircraft. You know, D.L. Moody, his church is still alive in Chicago, downtown Chicago. The Moody Church is still there. He was traveling in the 18th century, upstate New York, sat in a train. Then the train got to Rochester, New York, and stopped. And he didn't come down. People went off the train, and some came on board the train. Then suddenly, there was a strange movement going on in town. People were crying, falling on the ground, confessing Jesus, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Then one of these managers in some of these big shops like Walmart said to one of the elderly ladies, what is this craziness going on all over the place? What's going on? These people crying, speaking some strange languages. What is this nonsense? And the lady smiled and said, there is nothing wrong. It looks like D.L. Moody is somewhere in town. What a way to define a man. It looks like D.L. Moody is somewhere in town. I don't know how you want to be defined, but those are the things, those are the cry, those are the things that touches me. John Knox of Great Britain, he cried and said, "Give me Scotland or I die."
Come on, sir.
Queen Victoria of Scotland said, "I am not afraid of all the armies of Europe put together, but I fear the prayers of John Knox." Isaiah 64 verse 1, the prophet said, "Oh, that thou mightest rent the heavens, come down, that the mountains may skip as rams before you, and that thou mayest do it again." I don't know about you, but I need God to come to town one more time. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, "What is revival?" My definition of revival is when God comes to town. And I don't know about you, but it is my prayer that when you return, wherever you came from, that God will come to your town. He will come to your church. He will come to your city. That God will come to town. Put your hands together, shout yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. If we want God to come to town, there's a price to pay for it. We are the only religion that has failed to mandate prayer.
That's right.
For the Jews, the prayer is mandatory 3 times a day. Devout Muslims, prayer is mandatory 5 times a day. We are the only faith or religion that has refused to make prayer mandatory. We allow people to pray anytime they want to, as they feel. It must not be by feelings and as you will and as you feel. It must be mandatory. If we want to experience the move of God, if we want God to come to town, if you look at every scripture, even the day of Pentecost, before the Spirit came, as a mighty rushing wind, and they had the tongues of fire upon their head, they had fasted and stayed in the upper room for 10 days. And thereafter came that great move of God, an encounter and visitation. And this generation, we can't convert this generation by the enticing words of man's wisdom. We are not going to convert this generation, ladies and gentlemen, by teaching of the letter of the word. "For I came not to you in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of power." The devil don't understand negotiation or reasoning because he's unreasonable.
That's right.
The only language you understand is force. The only language you understand is power. One of the reasons why prayer is not mandatory, even though it has to, because the Bible says men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Always pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. It's because people are not watching, so they can't see. And when you can't see, what you don't see has dominion over you. It was like Jacob who married in the night. He saw this beautiful woman by the name of Rachel and went to the father and said, "What will it take for me to have this daughter of yours?" He said, "7 years, you work for me for free." He worked 7 years for free. And on the 7th year, he went and he said, "I fulfilled my side of the bargain. Give me my wife." The father of Rachel said, "Go get yourself together and come." They married in the evening. At night, there was no light in those days, no electricity power. That was the first layer. Second layer, she had covered her face with a black veil So he couldn't see and he didn't know.
That's right.
And so they got married, went to honeymoon. All night long, he was sleeping with Leah and he thought it was Rachel. Then in the morning, when the light came, he saw. He had eyes all night, but because he was in darkness, he couldn't see. He didn't see what he was sleeping with. What are you sleeping with? Who are you sleeping with? Are you sleeping with Leah or Rachel? All night. It was in the morning when the light came that he realized that it was Leah and not Rachel he was sleeping with. And he said, "Aah!" And Leah said, "It's too late." And he went to confront the father-in-law. You can't confront that which you don't see. And you can't conquer what you don't confront. He could not confront the father-in-law because he didn't even know what had happened to him and what was done to him. It was in the morning when he saw that he realized that the father-in-law switched it. Somebody say, switch. I pray that they won't switch your blessings. And he went to the father-in-law and said, "What have you done?" And he said, "I'm sorry, there is a law here that prohibits and does not allow the youngest to marry when the elders have been married. So I had to switch it. If you still want it, you have to work for another 7 years. A lot of people's breakthroughs and deliverance has been prolonged because of lack of light and illumination. And you see, a season is not a day, a week, a month, or a year. A season can be 1 year. The Bible says, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. A night can be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And until light comes, you will still be in that season and still not know what you are dealing with and what you are sleeping with. Jacob wrestled with an angel all night long. And when it was about day, the angel said, "The season is about to change. You will have the advantage with light. I have to leave now."
Preach.
You can't afford to live here without light. You must return from whence you came with light. Because when you have light, you have an advantage. When you have light, you can see your way. And as long as you see, you are capable of dealing with anything. Say, "I hear you." Prayer is a daily necessity for daily triumph. Prayer is a daily necessity for daily triumph. Prayer wasn't necessary or needed in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. Because God's original intent and agenda was on course. Until the adversary moved in and manipulated the woman. And the man, for whatever reason, failed to stand his ground. That is what happened when men fail to be men. The adversary deceives. There are men that have relinquished their manhood in the name of love, in the name of peace, and in the name of fear of confronting what is wrong. They've compromised and relinquished their manhood. And that was what Adam did. He relinquished his manhood and ceded the dominion mandate to Satan. For whatever reason, I've never seen in the Bible where a woman obeyed the voice of his husband and compromised her destiny. It's always men obeying the voice of their wives and compromising their destiny. You don't believe it? The Bible said, and Adam hearkened to the voice of Eve and ceded the dominion mandate. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, his wife, and lost it. That is the crisis in the Middle East. Let men be men. Yeah. Let women be women. Prayer became a necessity when we lost the dominion mandate. Therefore, what is prayer? Prayer is a gift of access. Prayer is an invitation. Prayer invites God to come on the scene because it is illegal. For God to intervene in the affairs of humanity without him being invited to come is illegal. God cannot intervene in the affairs of humanity without prayer going up. And prayer is the invitation that gives God the mandate or the authorization to interfere in the affairs of men. Reason number one, Adam ceded the dominion mandate to Satan. Therefore, Satan became the god of this world. And anytime Jesus met the demons, he said, the demons will say, "Hast thou come to destroy us before our time?" So they know they have a time to be destroyed. What is that time? That time is when Adam's lease on the planet expires. And until Adam's lease expires, Satan has the legal right and authorization to control this world. So God is not in charge of this world, Satan is. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the god of this world. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. All the kingdoms, the glory and the riches you see was delivered unto me. To whomsoever I will, I give it.
That's right.
If we don't understand this basic principle, you can never have a prayer life. Anything that you establish outside of prayer, it will